May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's holy word. The first is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The book of Numbers, chapter 21. We will commence to read from the fourth verse, and we will read down to the end of verse 11. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched at Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and pitched at Jeabarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. We will now turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and read from chapter 45. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45. Thus saith the Lord to the anointed, to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gate shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labour of Egypt, and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee, and shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee. And there is none else, there is no God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. O thou who art in the heavens, who lookest down upon the earth, thou who art the judge of men's hearts, for thou knowest us altogether, and there is nothing that can be hid from thee. When in the garden thou didst call to our first parents, and to Adam, and said, Adam, where art thou? Thou didst know that he was there, seeking to cover up his nakedness, but his sin could not be hid. And we too, therefore, Lord, may come before thee at this time. May it be a solemn realization with us each that thou dost see us exactly as we are. Thou art holy, we're unholy. And that we're unholy needs no proof, some may say and can say. We sorely feel the fall, but oh, to rejoice and to be glad in the fact that Christ has righteousness enough to sanctify us all. We know, Lord, that thou dost sanctify thine own dear people. Thou dost bring them out from nature's darkness. Thou dost raise them up from the dunghill. Thou dost set them among princes, and thou dost put hope in their soul. Thou dost cause them to come out from among them and to be separate, that they may not touch the unclean thing. And woe unto them if they should be found with such who are with unclean hands. But Lord, may we know that hand of faith, that which may seek to lay hold upon the garment of him who is altogether righteous, to lay hold upon Christ, oh, that we may, like the woman of old who came and said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made perfectly whole. May there be some venturing ones here. Oh, to venture on him, venture wholly. Let no other trust intrude. And Lord, may it be with each one preacher and people alike. Lord, we have nowhere else to go. And we say it in our right mind. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we would come, desiring that there may be a portion, not as those in the wilderness that disdained the light bread, the manna that came down. But Lord, we would be satisfied O make us satisfied with a crumb of thy mercy. Lord, if we have something from thee, it will be of great avail. Lord, to come and go and have nothing. Oh, may we be exercised with regard to that, if that is how we've often felt to come. But may there be urgency upon us. Lord, give me Christ, or else I die. As naturally we would perish without food and drink. 'Tis true that the Israelites have felt to need that, but they disdained what could indeed supply them, fully, amply, overflowing. Oh, therefore, Lord, may there be those hearts which are open, ready to receive the sacred word into their own hearts. We pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon both young and old. Lord, those that may increase in age may come to realize the solemnity of nearing the day of death. Oh, that it might be with each one of us a concern as to whether in that solemn moment we shall find a hiding place. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood, will Jordan's icy waves divide and land my soul with God. Lord, we also would desire that the young may have that concern also, for we know not when that day will be with us. As it has often been said, the old must die, the young may. But oh, to be rightly prepared of thy gracious Spirit, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy merits must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt even this day work a solemn yet blessed work to raise the dead to life, to succour those feeble ones who may halt upon, as it were, their thigh, yet cause them to run. Help us, Lord, to run in the way of thy commandments. O, enlarge the heart. Without it we cannot run. But if thou shouldest do it, then can there be holding back? Lord, we would desire to delight in thee, and on thee cast our care. Oh, help us then to so come. And Lord, we also pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies to those that bear office, and they may have the hearts of the people, that they may have the people laid upon their hearts, desiring to see the fruits. Oh, we pray, Lord, that they may therefore be encouraged. We would thank thee where there has been encouragement. Lord, may there be further encouragements. We would bear before thee, Lord, those that are in much affliction, and pray that thou would uphold them in it, bring them through it if it could please thee. We would bear before thee the one in deep bereavement. He has family. Lord, we would commend unto thee. The Lord, who can know the path except they have walked it in some measure. But Lord, we would desire though we may not be able to enter into the pathway of such a loss in such a manner, yet we would desire to prayerfully sympathise with him and his. Lord, we would also pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies to those may have the anniversary come when they remember their dear one, their loved one, and those years that may take them back into the past, yet may they find that there is consolation, that they might be able to find a sweetness in remembering the times when they felt the oneness as it is mentioned in thy word, that threefold cord. And so husband, wife, and Christ united. O Lord, we do pray then that thou would also look upon those that have been joined together over recent months or years. And Lord, may they have the consolation with a babe now brought into the world. Oh, we would thank thee for thy sparing mercies, and also that thou hast brought yet another life, another soul. We solemnly realise that it is another soul that needs salvation. Oh, that it might be, Lord, that in due time it will be perceived that there is found that good thing which is in the heart. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt thus yet bring many. There are the prodigals, those that have been brought up under the sound of the truth. They've gone away. O Lord, we pray that there may be a returning. Thou art able to bring them to want, bring them to feel their great lack, feel their destitution, feel their helplessness, and for them to realise the solemn things that may face them as they may behold death. But Lord, spare life. Bring again, we pray. May they yet be established. May there be those raised up to be pillars in the house of our God. Lord, while time remains, we know not how long the time may continue. That is the secret which is known alone unto thee. We would not pry, but we would desire discernment, that we may know and realise what the times are speaking. Lord, therefore, may we be brought to seek thee earnestly as days pass. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy word to have its effect. Bless thy servants, give them the door of utterance. May there be much done yet in thy worthy name, not only is there the desire for that work of grace to be wrought, but also that there may be a continuance in it. There may be the souls fed, built up upon their most holy faith, instructed in the word. Lord, we pray that there may be the signs following, therefore, that the sheep are being fed, growing in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we mourn stagnation. Oh, leave us not, Lord, to it, but do enliven our hearts. May we be lively stones in the house of our God. And now, Lord, we mourn the solemn situation that we have seen over the past months and years, for it is almost now 2 years since thou didst bring the solemn judgment upon the nations. What has been the effect? Lord, we would thank thee where thou hast been, that which may be used for a right purpose and in a right and for a right benefit. But Lord, has not man become lifted up in his pride and thinks that he can overcome the matters that are adverse, instead of falling down before thee, pleading our own wretchedness and sinfulness, oh, to find that we were rather a nation that was humbled under this thy mighty hand and brought to true repentance. Lord, at the testimony of Jonah, Nineveh was brought to a repentance. And yet we see no real evidence in a general or national sense. Lord, we trust there have been some that may have been brought to tremble, and it has been used for their own spiritual blessing. And now, therefore, appear, we pray. The prophet cried, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." Lord, that is what we need in this our solemn day, for thee to appear, but still maintain thy little remnant. Those that fear thy name, do honour, Lord, each as they may seek to do what they believe is right in the eyes of their God. Now, Lord, we will not multiply words further, but hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Send help now from the sanctuary. Be all that we need, whether in hearing or in speaking. We ask these things in and through the worthy name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 392. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Hymn 392.
Thank you.
If the Lord may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45, and read in verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 22. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. This is the word that may be an answer to the experience and feelings of the one whose heart may go with the hymn that you have sung. The questions that are asked, we're brought into those places and situations where we may see that there is no remedy, no remedy in ourselves, no remedy in men, no remedy to be found in any works that we can do. And then if the word is spoken, look unto me. Oh, what a word then that may be to any one of us here, to look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. We read to you concerning the children of Israel who had solemnly sinned. It was nothing new, we may say, because they by nature were sunk in sin, and we by nature are the same. But they were brought to realize the awfulness and solemnity of it when they were bitten by those serpents. Then it was to realize the effects of sin that brought them to face death. And we know that there were those that died when they were bitten. But there was a blessed antidote which was set before their eyes. But some of them were far off. Some were there at the very extremes of the encampment. They had journeyed. They were come now to the place, and they had rebelled against God. They had spoken against his provision. They had scorned it. And now they were faced with this judgment, this solemn judgment that had come upon them. But then, in the infinite mercy, oh, the long-suffering of their God, he would command Moses to set upon a pole a brazen serpent, the type, as it would be, of one who would shine forth unto the people when lifted up. Christ spoke to the people when here upon earth, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And those that were afar off were made nigh through the precious blood that was shed by our Redeemer, who was seen there in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet he himself knew no sin. As that serpent represented, there was no venom found in the brazen serpent, as there was in those live serpents that came amongst the people. But whereas there was no life in the brazen serpent, yet there is life in Christ. Oh, what a mercy that we have a hope of life when we are dying and face the realities of death through the knowledge of our own sinfulness. David was brought to face that which he had been guilty of, and he spoke his own condemnation, though ignorantly. Nathan came with a parable concerning the one who had taken the new lamb from his fellow, and David said he must die. And then the word came, "Thou art the man." You know, a solemn thing, isn't it, when the Lord speaks, whether through his prophet, through his servant, or whoever it may be, when the Lord speaks by whatever means, and it's brought expressly to our own soul, that ye must die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Therefore, you may say, what hope is there for me? For me, I who am at the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth in your distress, the ends of the earth in the hope that there can be no help for you. How could it come to such a place as the ends of the earth? How could it come to those, therefore, that are at the extreme and perhaps passed by, cast off by men? There were many in the days of our Lord who were sick and in poverty. There were those that were blind, those that were leprous. You know what the leper needed to do? He must be without the camp, beyond all means, crying out, "Unclean, unclean." Should any therefore dare to go near to another? And yet, there were those compelled to venture. 10 came and cried to our Lord, and he sent them to the priest, that they may then offer the oblation. And as they went, they were healed. But one was a Samaritan. Not only was he disadvantaged by the sense and illness of leprosy, but he also was not of the Jewish people. He was no Israelite. He was a Samaritan. He was one that was disdained, would have been passed by the Pharisees. He had no priest to go to, except one. And that was the one to whom he returned, the one who had sent him. Yet, though our Lord had sent him, yet he knew that he had no priest, save that he should return. And the Lord marvelled at the faith. Well, dear friends, have you returned, sought to return unto the one who may have raised up a hope in your poor soul, a hope in the mercy of Christ? That is where it must begin. A hope. Do not despise a hope. A hope that may then rise and enter into the very heavens. Because the anchor of hope is there cast, where our risen, ascended Lord is found. He that has now accomplished that work, and he who would have us to look to him, to himself, as lifted up on your account, one that would bear the sin, or the iniquity that is deep dyed in your soul, there to see this one who for your on your behalf should bear all the sins of his own dear people, you may make an inquiry, and was it for my sins? Was it my sins? Well, look unto me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Oh, to look therefore and to view the evidences that are found in him of salvation. He came not to save the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Godly sorrow fills the heart. Have my sins brought this upon the one that I now look upon? See him in his sorrow. As Jeremiah records in his lamentation, is there any whose sorrow is as my sorrow? I'm not quoting it quite exactly, but there Jeremiah, as he suffered the people who arose up against him, I will cast him into the miry pit, and would have sought his life, even to have slain him. Oh, the sorrow that Jeremiah experienced, and he could look at the people and say, is there any sorrow like unto mine? Well, Jeremiah may epitomize his Lord and Master, he who wept over Jerusalem, and there the iniquities that were upon the people, what effect had it had? Were they convinced sinners? Did they not continue in their pride of their own hearts? Or were they those that were at the borders of the pit? Were they afar off? Were they these that are mentioned in our text, the ends of the earth? They thought themselves to be better than that. But now come, poor sinner, who may be cast out by such, who may think that they are saved. But it isn't what is thought, it's what is true. What is true? Solemn consideration, solemn thought, that in that great and solemn day, as our Lord sets before us in the parable, there will be those that will come and say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in thy name. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. Such as Paul, as he became known, but Saul of Tarsus, who went about thinking he did God's service, but in the Lord's infinite mercy, he brought him to the ground, to fall at the very feet of this one whom he persecuted. Convinced then of his own wickedness, and yet could speak of obtaining mercy, mercy to such a one as this conceited man who thought he would rid the people of those that trusted in the Christ, whom the people had despised, but now confronted. You know, dear friends, not everybody may be confronted in the same manner. That is evident from the scripture itself. But they all were brought to come nonetheless face to face with their Lord and Saviour. There were those that were there by the seaside mending their nets. Their catch had not been complete. Some lost fish. Oh, therefore, what if they should have been as those that were such that got through the net, so to speak? But there came the time when those disciples, having been called of God and were followers of Christ, after his resurrection, and yet not fully being able to take in that he was risen, though they had seen him. Yet Peter, he said, I go a-fishing. And he came, and there were those that went with him, and they gathered a net full of fish at the command of the Saviour. They toiled all night, caught nothing. No, nothing could be gathered in legal waters. No law could bring salvation. No waters that were destitute of life could bring any hope. But now to cast the net upon the right side. And then it was witnessed that there was to be gathered a large number of fishes. But the net did not break on that occasion. No, not one was lost. Not one can be lost for whom Christ died. Not one can be brought to nothing. Though they may often find themselves at the ends of the earth, though they may find themselves often in that state of mind where they fear that they have nothing, yet there's still a hope. There's still a hope. And this is what is particularly upon my mind. Those of you that may say, I'm at the ends of the earth, there's no hope for me. Look and look again. Was there hope for Jonah? What a sinner he was. Ran away from his God. It didn't alter the fact what he was, though, a prophet of the Lord. It does not alter the fact if, through the purposes of God, you will be one that was chosen. Chosen how? In Christ. In Christ. That is the only hope that we have. Being found in Christ. But how being found in Christ It was from eternity, when the Father would look upon his own dear Son, he would view all those that were his, because in the covenant purposes of God, he gave unto his Son a people to show forth his praise. And a way that God may be honoured and praised is when a poor soul that is destitute of any hope in himself is brought to praise his God because of hope that was raised up in his heart as he was brought to see and view the one lifted up. There at the footstool of the cross, to see that precious blood flow from his side. It was the sealing of the testament that he had concerning his people. A Lamb's Book of Life. A beautiful consideration, that book should be called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb, slain from the foundations of the earth, in the very mind and purpose of God, yet actually slain in the fullness of time, the time that God himself had appointed. This time when he would be lifted up, and then the gospel can be preached, and the gospel be found in these very words, except the preacher will not say, look unto me, but look unto him, look unto Christ. Christ has the authority, though, to say, look unto me, because he has the power to bring a poor beggar from the dunghill and to set him among princes. He has the power to raise up the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need and is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. The Lamb's Book of Life, though, must be etched in the very ink, as it were, of blood itself. Blood itself. That precious blood which must be sprinkled upon the coming sinner. And let us be clear, it was that blood where there was application that gave the sinner hope. Many offerings were brought, and they were slain, the priest taking the beast and slaying it. But there were two things that the coming sinner would have to realize. In the first place, he would place his hands upon the head of the beast and there confess his sin. And then the blood taken from the slain beast would be sprinkled upon the sinner. Application. What a mercy it is if we have that application. You may say, ah, oh, that is what I feel I need. That is what I feel I do not have. That is what I fear I cannot be. I'm at the ends of the earth. Look unto me. Look unto me with that which I give. For if the Lord should say, look unto me, He will not leave you then to perish, but give you the needful grace to look. What grace is that? Faith. Faith. You know, dear friends, it is not recorded without some purpose that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. That is what we must ever realise. This is a gift. But will the Lord exhort his own, those that are his, those that are in Christ from all eternity, to look to him and then withhold the grace? But all the while we may think that we have the power in ourselves, we may prove that we are disappointed. But faith, oh precious gift, and where there is one that is taught his own sinfulness, emptied of self, brought destitute, those that look from the ends of the earth, these that look, they look out of necessity. They have nowhere else to go. That was the proof that Peter showed that he had life when our Lord spoke to them. Those having gone away, they had no need of Christ. They went away. Whatever reason they may come to hear, yet now they'd all departed that had not felt their real need of salvation. But here our Lord speaks, "Will ye also go away? Will he also go away? No longer continue with this that exhorts you to look to him for all needed grace, to look to him as the all-sufficient one. You have no other sufficiency but in him. Ah, look unto me. Yes, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word that may come, therefore, expressly to your soul. And here is a word that if spoken of him will bring you to do what you know in yourself you cannot do, to look. A poor helpless soul may find that there's more help to be found in such a look, that he or she may feel to be so incompetent themselves to do. But you know, it was Jonah that looked. He looked from the bottom of the sea, in the fish's belly. He looked when he had nothing to look at in any visual way. Away with all the crosses that men may make and hold up before you. Away with all that men may set before your eyes. but a look. Where you may say you have no sight to see, that they seem to be so far off, and yet we are made nigh. Notice that. We are made nigh through that precious blood that is shed. Well, Jonah, he knew that there was one thing which could alone save, and brought to look from that very place, could declare then that salvation is of the Lord. The Lord commanded the fish to vomit out Jonah upon dry ground. What a wonderful thing that was. If we may just for a moment contemplate what it could have been. He could have been vomited out in the depths of the sea, and having no then power in himself to get to any land, would have drowned in perdition. But the Lord ordained that Jonah should be vomited out upon dry ground, upon the land, and the land which we may come to find is the eternal rock, the rock of our salvation, that which may be our secure abode. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There he was vomited upon dry ground. That which may be wet will perhaps rather cause us to sink. But here was dry ground. You know, that is the great difference between what we may call the doctrine and truth of free grace and that which is spoken of as free will. Free will is sinking sand. But the doctrine of Christ, who has fulfilled all things, it's solid. You will not sink upon that. You cannot sink upon the merits of him who is holy and perfect, though made to be sin. But that is the glory of it, for your sakes, made to be sin. Are you striving to be holy before you're saved? You never will there obtain any dry ground. But when you have been brought to the very place where you have no holiness, no goodness in yourself, you're vile, vile in your own eyes, and you know then that you're vile in the eyes of a holy God. But did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that wretched worms might rise? There we may find the very ground of our hope, and it is firm ground. Well, there is also another aspect that I would just mention, that is this. What have been the cause of Jonah's waywardness? disobedience. Now Jonah must go in obedience. And how could he go in that obedience except he had that one to whom he could look? And we view one who in perfect obedience gave himself. And all that he is, he gives unto his own church and people. So when we experience our readiness to turn aside, to run away, to walk contrary, to bemoan our state, to complain of those things which God in his mercy and faithfulness has given, then to look again, like Jonah did, and there to behold the one lifted up, to behold a bleeding lamb, to behold that precious blood that washes away a Mary's and Manasseh's stains, the sins and stains, and those even more, those more vile than they. Yes, here then is the hope, the consolation that one may have in looking again unto this one who is lifted up. Look unto me, and be ye saved. The words here, be ye saved, are very blessed words. There were those that came to our Lord in the days of his flesh. One was a leper, and he said, be clean. The leper could not make himself clean, but the Lord would speak it and say, be clean. The words were spoken under the law, be ye holy, for I am holy. And in a legal sense, that's no hope for the poor sinner who's there in all his filthiness. But spoken in the New Testament terms, as Peter records, it is this that is said, be holy. The Lord confers upon you all that you are not in yourself, that you may be made like unto him. You may possess that very image of which a grace will evidence. Christ formed in your heart the hope of glory, that you may then be a sinner saved by grace, and therefore be placed among the righteous. There's no righteousness outside of Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved. In me is thy righteousness. In thee is all thy salvation. So, to look unto Christ and to be saved. Yes, it is a certainty. It's not dependent. It's not saying, well now, look unto me and do something about it for yourself and be saved in that manner. No, the term is so striking and definite because the Lord has spoken it. He who says, look, says, be saved. Nothing done by the poor sinner to merit or obtain that salvation, that righteousness, but it's all that which he now pronounces of what we are in and through himself. Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. No, only one God, one Father, and a Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He is the Father of our Lord and Saviour, and therefore your Father. As he said to Mary, I ascend unto your Father and my Father. Oh, what a fullness there is in such a testimony. A testimony to your soul. You might say, I could never call him Father. Never call God Father. But what was the instruction of that he gave his disciples? When thou prayest, say, Our Father. You have to plead with your intercessor. He who has ascended up on high, there to make intercessions. There is your hope. So look and see where all your salvation lies. Your hope lies in the very one that you can use. His name, the name of Jesus. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And because the Father will also give you those very things of which you ask. But who would ask in his name that which is just for the edifying of self? We cannot come before his footstool and plead for some self-gratifying gift. No, not when we are being brought to know our filthiness and wretchedness and unworthiness. We pray, we plead, what will be acceptable unto him. And what was acceptable unto him? I must close. There was a woman who came to the well where he sat. Adulteress, a woman steeped in sin, in idolatry, and yet he would set before her the waters of life, till having testified to her exactly all things that concerned her, she left her water pot and went and declared, Is not this the Christ? Oh, is not this the Christ? You see, that she had to leave all emptied of herself, that she might then see that all her salvation rested not in Father Jacob, as good man as he was, and not in the well that she came to daily to draw from, but in the one who could give living water that may well up within her own soul. To him she now looked and exhorted her own country people to look as well and to come. And I came first because of what she had spoken, but then I testified, and then I believed because of what they had now seen and proved. And that is what we will find. That is what will determine the matter. That you've been brought to prove the very word that is preached unto you. Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Yes, not one will be beyond the saving grace of God in the purposes of Christ. Not one. Solemn are the purposes of God. We know that. We see the countless millions unaffected that go on their way, on the downward path. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But if we look to him, we will find that it is that narrow way, that straight way, that he brings us to see, that way that leads to God. The way that will enable you to venture in the footsteps of him who is able to wash your feet as he would wash his disciples' feet, that he may therefore by sanctifying grace bring you into that path that we've already mentioned. With regard to Jonah, he was brought to obedience. Well, I leave with you the thoughts as to what that path is of obedience. May you be led of the Spirit into it. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon. Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Michael Riddell next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1032. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. Hymn 1032.
may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.